स्वाध्यायामोदबलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धावाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्. We are discussing the thousand names of Devi as found in Lalita Sahasranama. So we will see in the next four namas, starting from the 182nd nama till the 185th nama today. So these namas are the namas that we are learning now, and we will be learning next few days. Those namas speak about Devi or equate Devi with Nirguna Brahman, or that Brahman which is attribute-less, ultimately attribute-less, and which is a substratum of the world that we see. So it doesn't matter whether we worship Nirguna Brahman or Saguna Brahman. What matters is trying to understand, trying to remember the nature of Brahman as all-pervasive, and thereby always see that Lord, that particular form or formless everywhere. So pervading, or as we learned yesterday, nirbheda. So bhedam, removing bhedam by bringing in the abheda vastu is what a seeker has to do. That is what a seeker has to really do. It doesn't matter whether a seeker is worshipping Nirguna Brahman or Saguna Brahman, that form, or if it is a form or formless, that has to be pervaded. Dvaitam has to vanish. So Abheda Buddhi has to vanish, and Agadvesham, or the Kalmasha that we learned in the previous days, that has to vanish. And that can happen when we pervade the form everywhere and have total surrender to the form. As we learned, Devi herself is Lobha Nashini, so Mamata Hantri. Devi will get rid of all these if we remember Devi as Nirguna Brahman and pervade that form everywhere. So it is okay to worship Devi Tripura Sundari in that particular form, but it is not okay to forget that Tripura Sundari is all pervasive Brahman, Nirguna Brahman really. And it is not okay to forget pervading Devi, including ourselves. So everything is me alone. Everything is me alone is what the Jnani says. And a person who is a Bhakta, he says everything is one Ishvara, including me. Everything is Ishvara. That is the attitude we need to have. And if we have that attitude, then Teshamaham Samudharta Amrityu Samsara Sagarat. Krishna says in Gita that He himself or Ishvara will take us away. So we learned also that Bhavanashini, Devi is not just Nirbhava, Devi is Bhavanashini and Mrityumadani. Devi will take us away from all these sorrows. Devi will take away our Ajnanam, destroy our Ajnanam. So that we have to just remember that whether it is Sagunam or Nirgunam, ultimately it is Nirgunam, ultimately one entity alone is there. We have to pervade, whether it is Sagunam or Nirgunam, we have to pervade it in the entire world. It has to be the entire world, or the form or formless has to become all pervasive. That is the way to realization. That is the way to going to that state of Bhavam, Nirbhava and Nirnasha. And if we go to that state, Ajnanam will vanish. So how does Ajnanam really affect us? Ignorance, as the saying goes, ignorance is bliss. So when we don't know something, it is blissful. It appears to be blissful, temporary bliss. Then how is Ajnanam causing trouble? So Ajnanam causes trouble by Ajnanam. Due to Ajnanam, Ajnanam causes kamam or desires. So the very fact that I am Brahman, I am Purna Vastu, is forgotten. That is Ajnanam. And when I don't know that I am Purnam, then I will desire to become Purnam. So since I am not complete, I am not perfect, I am not blissful, I seek all this in the external world. So I start seeking, so desire starts. So with desire, desire cannot remain as a desire. So desires, whether it is very small desire or big desire, either it has to be terminated, it has to be negated completely, or it has to be converted into an action. Not it has to be, it will be converted to an action. So desire to learn Lalita Sahasranama makes us learn Lalita Sahasranama. The desire cannot remain as such. If the desire remains as such, then such a person is a fool, such a person is an idiot. He is just daydreaming. He is always daydreaming, not trying to implement. That's also the reason why there is no point learning Vedanta, there is no point remembering Vedanta in the mind. We have to implement it. Implementation of Vedanta at the action plane is nothing but being unaffected by actions, being or able to do any action at any time, irrespective of situation, irrespective of people involved, irrespective of anything, because Devi is, or Devi, that Brahman who is pulsating in us as I exist, that reality is Nishkriya, Om Nishkriya, Yei Namaha, Nishkriya. There are no actions possible in Devi. There are no actions possible in as well as by Devi. So since no actions are possible, really possible, that means what actions are happening, those are only illusions. Those are like the dream actions. So remembering this, when a sadhaka is able to remember this, that in reality, Devi is Nishkriya, I am also Nishkriya, then how will actions bother me? It is like in dream, I do a lot of things. I do whatever I want, I do in dream. Similarly, that will happen in the world as well. So that means such a person will be able to do anything out of his will. This minute he has to do something, he'll be able to do. Like in the case of Prahalada or in the case of Arjuna, he had to kill his relatives, his guru. He did that. He was able to do that. He didn't cry. He didn't cry like women or babies. He didn't cry because he knew that karma is only mithya. Karma is not real. If we consider karma as real, if we think we have to support people, we have to do actions to sustain in the world, then nobody is to be blamed but us. So whenever we set aside Nishkriya Vastu, which is the Atman, karma creeps in. When karma creeps in, karma can give us only dukkham. Karma will take us again and again in the birth of in the ocean of birth and death. Kurvate karma bhoga, karma kartum cha bhunjate. So man does action for enjoyment, he enjoys for doing more action. He does more actions for enjoyment, he enjoys to do more action. This continues again and again. So A seeker will not set aside Brahman, not set aside Devi, Nishkriya Devi, and enter into action. So any moment we say that, oh, I cannot get out of work, my work is very important. Any moment we set aside Brahman, we set aside Mahatmas, we set aside spiritual activity for any other thing, for karma, that means we are not fit to be in the spiritual path, which means we are not fit to get anandam. We will not get anandam. We will be suffering again and again. So we commit mistakes, but we have to learn from them. There is no point of telling that, oh, I am not fit. I am not able to get rid of attachment, so I am not fit. So that is not what a seeker will do. A seeker will not cry, as Vivekananda said. A seeker will not cry. He will be bold. He will say, oh, is it that way? Let me try to overcome it. I will overcome it. That's how. That will be the attitude of a seeker. He will not. His attitude will be never die attitude. Never say I quit, that attitude. That would be the attitude of a seeker. But we should remember that any moment we stay away from spirituality, that means we are into karma, which means we are into dukkham. So any time when Mahatmas like Amma or Tejomay Ananda comes, if we are not setting aside time for them, if we are not setting aside time to be in their presence, then we are in karma. It will not benefit us, it will not benefit anybody around us as well. Durlabham trayameva yata deva anugraha hetukam manishyatvam mumukshutvam mahapurusha samshrayah. So Shankara says in Viveka Chudamani that three things are very tough to get in life. One is manishyatvam, being born as a man, and mumukshutvam, desire for liberation, and the last is mahapurusha samshrayah, or surrender to a man of wisdom, being in the presence of a man of wisdom. Any minute we think twice, I can't go to, Tejomay Ananda is coming to Washington DC, but I cannot catch a train and go. Even if I catch a train and go, I'll have to catch a cab, I'll have to do this. I have work, I took a leave some time back, so I cannot take it. If we say all those, then we are in karma, which means we will not get the nishkriya vastu, which means we will not get anandam, we will only have more and more dukkham. If people in US, if devotees of Amma in US are able to set aside all their work, everything, for the entire Amma's US trip of 1.5 or 2 months, they are able to set aside things, then why can't we do that? They don't have jnanam, they are not learned like us in Vedanta. If they are able to do that, and we are not able to do, what a pity that we are not really able to do. That will not help us in any way. It will not help us. It will only make us indulge in karma more and more. We will finally end up life suffering. And like we will say, I am not fit for Vedanta. So that's how we will say. We'll never be able to get out of the ocean of samsara. If we have to get out of the ocean of samsara, we have to become a dhira. We have to become person who is strong, whose will is strong, whose mind is very strong, that he can set aside anything and everything for the sake of spirituality. That is how a sadhaka should be. Just because we buy Amma's books, just because we attend one or two retreats of Amma, that doesn't mean anything at all. That still means we are not in par, we are not even equivalent of, or we cannot even be equated with the people here who spend an entire time in spirituality. Unlike, or as Gautama Ananda said, that we spend 12-13 hours in the world. Daily we spend 12-13 hours, or weekly we spend 40-50-60 hours doing work. 40 hours we do work, and then another 40-50 hours we do spend with people around us. And we spend just 1 hour or 2 hours in a week, or 1 hour daily, 5 hours a week we spend for the world. Instead, if a person really wants moksha, he should be spending 18 hours in spiritual sadhana and 1 hour about or in the world. So this doesn't mean that we have to quit the world and go, but it only means that until we are in a position to remember Ishvara, remember this, renounce all actions, whatever we are doing, while doing those actions, we should try to utilize the Mahatmas that are present around us. We should try to do sadhana. If we spend 8 hours in the world initially, we have to do 8 hours of sadhana. Equivalent or the equal time that we spend in the world, we have to do sadhana if we have to progress in the spiritual path. If that is not the case, it is easy to say, be in the world, just offer all actions. But when things go wrong, when things go out of hand, when attachment, aversions, all those creep in, when ragadvesham creep in, we'll not be able to hold on. So that is what will happen. So if we have to get out of karma, we have to seek the nishkriya vastu in whatever way possible. We have to do that. It is fine to be in the world for 12 months. Out of the 12 months in a year, it is okay to spend time in the world for 10 months. But the rest 2 months, when these Mahatmas come, we should not bother about either time or work or money. We shouldn't bother about anything. We should be bold enough to join, bold enough to spend time in their presence, because satsangatve nissangatvam, satsanga alone will finally make us a jivan mukta. Unless we have satsanga, we will not benefit. So if a person who is just learning to drive cannot drive in a freeway, he has to drive in normal roads, in the boulevard, and then finally into small highways and then freeways. He cannot directly jump. Similarly, if we have to be in the world and offer all actions, remember Ishvara at all times, we have to try to spend as much time as possible in spirituality, as much as possible, and then the rest we have to say that, okay, I cannot get away from this, so let me remember Ishvara. So the difference is that a person who is offering to Ishvara while he is doing actions as well, he will not be bound by anything. He will be able to get out of those actions at any point of time. This minute I have to stop, he will be able to stop it. That is the difference between a person who is implementing Vedanta and a person who just knows Vedanta. So if we have to attain the Nishkriya Vastu of Devi, then we have to get away from karma. Getting away from karma is internally always offering actions onto Ishvara, remembering that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, remembering that at all times. That is the way out. And for us to completely practice or implement it, we have to spend as much time as possible in the midst of Mahatmas, doing spiritual sadhanas, learning spiritual works. Spiritual activities are very essential in order for us to completely abide in Brahman or abide in Devi, in Nishkriya Devi, while doing Kriya, while doing activities as well. So going back to Ajnanam, Kamam and Karma. So Avidhya, Kama, Karma. So Karma comes, Karma leads us to Dukkham. So Karma is born out of Avidhya. Devi is not tainted by Avidhya because Devi is Vidhya Vastu. Devi is Vidhya. Where there is light, there cannot be darkness. Therefore, there is no darkness in Devi. Therefore, there is no Karma also in Devi. And a person who worships Devi, thus, he will be able to he will not be bound by karma. Karma will not become an obstacle, as we learned yesterday, nidabhada. So karma will not become an obstacle. He'll be able to do karma being unaffected by the karma as well as the fruit of the karma, and that is jivan mukti, wherever we are, being able to do actions in the best possible way, yet being unaffected by it, by the action or the outcome of the action. That is jivan mukti. And that state we will be able to go, because when we worship Devi as Nishkriya, Devi is beyond Ajnanam, therefore there is no prasakti of karma. Karma might still happen, but there is no prasakti for karma. Karma will happen even as dreams happen. So karma or activities in the world or the world itself will have an importance which is equivalent or equal to an importance that we give for dream. So dream world, how much importance we give, similar importance we will give to the external world. And that doesn't mean we get such a person, such a jivan mukta will get away from the world. He will still do actions, but he'll be able to always abide in Brahman. And that state, if we have to achieve that state, we have to do more and more spiritual sadhana. We have to always remember Brahman. Easiest way to always remember Brahman is to do spiritual sadhana, which means we are automatically remembering Brahman and spending time in the presence of Mahatma. So the next nama is Om Nishparigrahayai Namaha. So Devi is Nishkriya. That means Devi there is no prasakti for karma. And that is because there is no Ajnanam in Devi. But let's say karma, There is no prasakti for karma because Devi is in jnanam. Jnanam and karma are against one another. Where one is there, the other cannot be there. So, therefore, we can say that Devi is nishkriya, but there is still kamam in Devi. There can be a doubt. Therefore, Hayagriva says that Devi is nishparigraha. Parigraham means accepting gifts. So, nishparigraha, Devi doesn't accept any gifts. Because Devi doesn't need any gifts. Why? Because when karma is not there, there is no kamam as well. Kamam is also not there. Ajnanam is also not there in Devi. So there is no prasakti for kamam. Therefore, Devi doesn't need any gift. And Devi also doesn't need any gift because Devi is Advitiya Vastu. Therefore, she doesn't need any gift. If we remember that Devi alone is present here, then we will also become like that. We will not need anything from the world. We will be only giving to the world. So, Mahatmas or Avatara or Ishvara doesn't need anything from us. They are just coming to the world to give to us. Krishna didn't need anything from the world. He didn't have to take birth in order to realize. He didn't need anything at all. He was Purna Vastu. And it is Arjuna, Uddhava and others who needed Krishna's help in realizing. So, Ishvara or Brahman doesn't need anything. Whenever we think about giving something to Amma, oh Amma, I'll offer you this mala. I'll offer you $100 donation. I'll buy all your books. Let those be offering to you. So, they don't need anything. The offering itself is for purifying our mind and not to purify or give them something. They don't need anything at all. It is our impurities that go out of us when we offer. So that is what we have to always remember, that nishparigraha. Brahman doesn't need anything at all. That means Jivan Mukta also doesn't need anything. Which also means that since we are, the moment we remember Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, we become that Devi who pervades the entire world, which means we also don't need anything. Such a sadhaka will do activities, things as they come, remembering nishparigraha, remembering that he doesn't need anything from the world. He doesn't need anything means he'll be purnam, he'll be complete, he'll be satisfied. So the next nama is Om Nistulayai Namaha. So, there is no ajnanam in Devi. It is ajnanam that causes bedam. So, ajnanam causes bedam. Like Shankara says, a person has faulty vision. Because of that, he sees two moons. So, there is only one moon. But his faulty vision makes it appear as if there are two moons. So, ajnanam creates or makes it appear as if bedam is real. So, a person... Devi is Advitiya Vastu. There is no Ajnanam. That means there is no Bhedam. If there is no Bhedam, that means there is no mode of comparing Devi. There is no equivalent of Devi. Nistula, Tulana, or comparison is not possible. Nirupama Nitya Niramshake Api Akande. In Maya Panchakam, Shankara's, the first word Shankara uses is Nirupama. So Nirupama means, Upama means comparison or comparing. So the same is meant here. Nistula is also the same. Comparison is not possible for Devi because there is no Ajnanam, there is no Bhedam, because it is only Advitiyam or Advaitam that is there. So if we remember Devi, that there is no tulana possible in Devi, which means there is no tulana, there is no comparison possible for us, we'll be blissful because it is comparison. It is thinking that my parents are suffering, my friends are suffering, others are happy. So these the kind of comparisons that happen in our mind, that is what causes sorrow. So that will not be there. When that is not there, we'll be able to be always blissful because there is no comparison, nothing to compare. So as things are happening, they will happen. There will be no expectation. Expectation levels are not there because we know that there is no comparison possible. The last nama of the day, Om Neela Chikurayai Namaha. Neela Chikura. So Neelachigura means one who has black hair. So Devi has black hair. So black hair means very black hair. That means healthy hair, we can say. So what does hair or black hair really signify? So growth of hair is something which is related. Some people may be a blind faith, but it may be related to intelligence. One thing is hair is related, or hair growth is related to intelligence. Hair growth also means a person is growing. When hair starts falling, that means you are on the second half of your life where decay has started. You are not growing. So growth means we are progressing towards Brahman. Decay means we are getting away from Brahman. So growth means moving more and more nearer to Devi, becoming Devi, and or realizing that we are Devi. And decay means coming away from Devi, forgetting or strengthening the ajnanam that is there in us, that I am not Devi, or I am Devi, which is veiled. Strengthening that is decay. So Devi has very good black hair, means that means Devi is fully grown. So the fully grown state is that paripurna avastha, or becoming Devi. There is no becoming Devi really. So it is only a figurative way of telling becoming Devi. It is realizing Devi. So that is what is denoted here. So black can also mean that black means wherever there is black, we cannot see anything. Darkness is black. So Devi is also covered by the black hair. That means Devi is covered by ajnanam. In fact, there is no real covering. It's like clouds veiling the sun, as Astamalaka says. Clouds veil the sun. So similarly, ajnanam veils Devi, thereby we are not able to see Devi. So that is what is meant here. Black hair means black or darkness veils Devi. So we have to get rid of that ajnanam. And the way to get rid of that ajnanam is remembering that Devi is nishkriya, nishparigraha, nistula, without karma, tama, and avidya. So Devi is without avidya as well as the fruits of avidya, which is kamam and karmam, which means that avidya is not at all there in Devi. Since it is not at all there in Devi, and that Devi alone is present here, that means there is no ajnanam, which means we are all realized, which means we will be ever blissful. So that is what is meant here, that the removal of that blackness is possible by completely surrendering onto Devi, remembering that Devi is Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, and that Devi who pervades the entire world, she is the consciousness in me. Whatever other the duality that is seen is only mithya. It is just nama rupam. It is like a dream world. It will go on. Let it go on. I'll not be affected. As things come, I'll try to do more and more spiritual activities so that I'll progress towards that state where I'll always be abiding in it, irrespective of whatever actions I do. That is the goal, and that is what is to be achieved. And when we achieve that, we will get anandam, that the supreme goal of human life, which is anandam, or being blissful at all times. We'll continue in the next day. Namaskar.